Thanks for listening to the RCF podcast. If you're a college student, a faculty member, or you live in the area and appreciate what you hear on this podcast, we invite you to join us for worship each Sunday evening during the semester at the University of Rhode Island. It's from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. in the URI Memorial Union Atrium 1. We'll sing together, pray together, and hear a message from God's Word. So come join us. Be sure to check our social media or website for updates on the schedule. And now, enjoy the podcast.
This is the RCF podcast, and I am here today, once again, with Alice.
Hello.
Today we want to address something that comes up from time to time in various forms. The topic is, does Christianity take the fun out of life?
Ooh, interesting.
I think this is the perception of many people, that if I wholeheartedly follow Jesus, I may miss out on fun. And nobody wants to do that, right?
Of course not. The dictionary definition of fun is enjoyment, amusement, or lighthearted pleasure. Are those things that define or characterize Christianity?
When I think of Christianity, I think of what Jesus said, for instance, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." He goes on to say, "And all these things will be added to you, the necessities of life." But that element of seek first the kingdom is very important. Are we seeking fun, or are we seeking the kingdom of God?
That's a good question. Another verse that comes to my mind is John 10:10, where Jesus promises abundant life. Does abundant life equal fun? What is that abundant life that he's talking about?
Yeah, I think in the context of that, he was saying the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what Satan wants for your life. But Jesus says, I have something better for you. I have an abundant life.
Mm.
One more verse that pops into my head is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
That doesn't sound like fun.
Doesn't sound like fun at all. In fact, Jesus never said to pursue fun. He never said, follow me, and you're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a great time, guys. In fact, it was quite the opposite with the disciples.
I think it's in Luke 9 where Jesus actually discourages some disciples from following him because it says that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Yeah, he was getting them to count the cost,
right,
in that context. And so he says, it's going to be difficult, but you follow because it's so much greater than following anything in the world. And so when the disciples followed Jesus, they knew it was going to be hard. The same way with the Apostle Paul. He wasn't seeking happiness when he followed Christ. In fact, it landed him in jail and ended up costing him his life. These guys, both the disciples and even the Apostle Paul later on, they weren't seeking fun or they weren't seeking happiness. That wasn't their intent. But they encountered the living God in human flesh and they wanted to be with him. They wanted to know him. That helps us understand what this life is about and what we're supposed to do.
Right, exactly. I see often churches, youth groups, they'll have fun and games. They'll have a lot of activities that are just intended to draw people in, to entice them in. The hope then is to be able to share the gospel. I feel like that's a little bit of a bait and switch because if it's the fun and games that draw you, and then the point is a gospel message, that kind of gives you sort of a false sense of what following Jesus is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It should be the word, the truth that draws people in, because ultimately that's all we can offer people is the truth.
Yeah, as Christians, we need to be honest.
We
need to say following Jesus is hard, but it's worth it.
Exactly. The way is narrow that leads to Christ, and the way is broad that leads to destruction.
The most common reason given for this idea that Christians are supposed to have a lot of fun is, what about Jesus hanging out with sinners? I hear that often.
Mm-hmm.
Was Jesus partying, though? No. If we look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, it tells us that he was eating with sinners. And we have no doubt from the rest of the context and everything that we read in Scripture that he was teaching them. He was pointing them to the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
And so he wasn't just living it up having a great time. So we can't get this picture of Jesus at a frat party, living it up like the rest of the world, because that's found nowhere in Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, it talks about, in a negative sense, being lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. If we're going to be pursuing Christ, loving God first and foremost, then I think that has to mean that we're also putting aside the things of the world. You think of even the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18. He had all the possessions. He had a bunch of stuff. And Jesus told him, look, if you want to follow me, sell all of that. Give it to the poor and come follow me. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like fun, right?
No.
But again, this is what the life that Jesus calls us to.
I think also of 1 John, where he commands us to not love the things of the world.
And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul was saying that the goal is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his suffering. So to know Christ and to share in his sufferings, he says, becoming like him even in his death. And if you skip down to verse 14 there, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul had this mindset of, this is what the Christian life is about, knowing Christ, sharing in his sufferings.
Yes. I think it's actually the sin and the effects of sin that takes the fun out of life. Mm-hmm. Because you think of it, when you sin, you think you're having fun in the moment. But what follows is guilt and shame and consequences, and that's definitely not fun.
Yeah, because there is sin in the world, we are going to encounter difficulties. We are going to encounter hardships, and that's going to take away from anything that would otherwise be enjoyable and pleasurable. We have glimpses of that, but sin has distorted that.
Right, yes. One of the first things that came to my mind in thinking of this topic was the book of Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, Solomon, he was seeking to satisfy his soul with everything the world has to offer. And he tried everything, and he found it all lacking.
Right. Yeah, so the question should probably be asked, what are you finding your pleasure and enjoyment in? Rather than looking at, does Christianity take the fun out of life, we should be asking, what are we finding our pleasure and enjoyment in? If you find the things of God to be boring or even miserable, if you're finding the things of the world bringing you the most enjoyment, what are you saying about God? If we love the world, and we love the things of the world, and that's where we find our pleasure, that's where we find our greatest enjoyment, then what does that say about God? It says, well, he's not enough. It says he's a boring God. He's a God that just wants to take the fun out of everything, and I don't think that's the right view at all.
I think that's really the heart of this question. That's really the key to this question of, does Christianity take the fun out of life? Well, where do you find your enjoyment? Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy the things of God? And for those who do find their enjoyment in the things of God, they find that they have that abundant life that John 10:10 talks about. We see in Scripture that the Bible doesn't give us a grim picture of what it means to know and follow God as if it's pure misery. You see joy. I mean, you see people are, you know, giving up their livelihoods to follow Christ. They wouldn't be doing that if it was drudgery and just all the bad things of this world.
Right. You think of the Psalms. Look at all those verses that talk about delighting in God, delighting in his commandments even. The Psalms begin with this in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's the very first psalm, delighting in the law of the Lord. You go on and you find many other references, Psalm 35:27. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad. And then a couple of Psalms later, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that verse we could probably do an entire podcast on, and probably will at some point, because the desires of our heart, when they are aligned with God's desires, when our focus is on him, we can delight in the Lord, and he will give us those desires. But again, he's showing us where that delight is found. The delight is found in the Lord. And there's numerous other psalms that reflect this. You could do a study on that. Go through the psalms and look for all the times that it talks about finding delight, finding enjoyment in God. The whole Bible points to God as the one who is intended to be our greatest joy and delight. The longer I live, the more I recognize how important this is. There are many things that I once thought were fun and enjoyable, which I no longer care for. And I think everybody can say that in their life, right? Even if you're in college, you can look back to something 10 years ago when you were a kid and you say, man, I used to think that that was the most fun thing in the entire world. And now you don't care for it, right? So your taste changes. We want our taste to be for the Lord. This is why the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is what we want to cultivate in our life and in our hearts.
Right, exactly. Yeah, as we mature in Christ, it's the things of God that taste better and better, and it's the things of the world that taste worse and worse. I think too, if fun is your main pursuit in this life, if this is the main thing that you're living for, that can only leave you empty. Ultimately, that pursuit will be exhausting and it'll be futile. You'll always be looking for the next fun thing, and everything else in life will be dull.
Right. That goes back to what we said earlier. Because sin has distorted the world and has distorted so much of what God intended, we're just going to be on this endless pursuit of what's the next fun thing. You're going to find, okay, yeah, I'm hanging out with friends and this was fun, but man, you know, the next morning when you go to church, not so fun. And so we start comparing everything. So that's where we have to find our joy and our delight in God, right, instead of seeking fun as the world considers it. I love the C.S. Lewis quote that's pretty famous from his book, The Weight of Glory. C.S. Lewis said this, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." That's a famous quote from C.S. Lewis that says, yeah, we tend to find our delight and our enjoyment in things that are really kind of silly in a sense. You know, he gives this illustration of a kid making mud pies and thinking that's the greatest thing in the world. He doesn't know what it's like to go on a cruise, to live in a setting like that, right? And so that's the comparison, is if we are enjoying some of the things that we enjoy, binging on Netflix, even a basketball game, or you name it, whatever we tend to find as fun, think about those in comparison to being with the Lord, to knowing Him and following Him, doing His will. It doesn't even compare. It's not even on the same level. But that's the problem. We don't know what we're missing. When we're binging on Netflix, or we're partying on Friday night, or whatever it is, we're not thinking about what God has to offer. While we are pursuing fun, we're actually missing out on something much better.
Yeah, it's almost like you're too busy snacking on those, you know, those big orange circus peanuts that are like...
Oh, those are gross.
But you love those so much that you don't understand, you know, when somebody offers you a gourmet meal, you don't recognize the value of it because you're so enamored with these fake orange circus peanuts, yeah. You know?
And so it's like that in our relationship with God. If we feast on the things of the world, we find God dull because we're satisfied with worldly things. Here's another thing that I think is important in this discussion. If we think that Christianity should be fun, and that's ultimate, and that's what we're pursuing, what about if you go through a time of suffering? How does that help you? If you go through a difficult time, a time of suffering in your life, you don't cling to the fun that you had in the past, right? If you got this serious illness, you're not seeking fun in that moment. But what will help you is knowing God. If He is your joy, your delight, that's what's going to help you regardless of what you're dealing with. I think that if your version of Christianity or your idea of Christianity is fun and games, which, again, in our culture, especially in America, in Western Christianity, so much entertainment, so much fun and games. But if that is your idea of Christianity, that would be completely worthless to a person who is in a difficult life situation because they're not looking for fun. They're looking for hope. Mm. So what are we going to be selling them? Think about a person who lives in a place like North Korea. If all I have to offer them is how to have fun, what good is that? So at RCF, one of the things that we're trying to prepare you for is those difficult times. You may wish that, man, I wish RCF did a lot more fun stuff, but what we're doing is trying to prepare you for those difficult times. If you end up with a serious life-threatening disease or your family member does, you have hope. You can still rejoice always, as Paul talks about in the book of Philippians, even in those moments, because you're rejoicing in the Lord. You still have delight. You still have hope because of God. You know Him. You cling to Him. That's our heart at RCF. That's why we do what we do. And I know we're kind of considered the serious group, but I think that's what we have to be. I never see the command to go have fun and go live it up.
Right. I mean, I think also so much of the New Testament is talking about preparing for persecution, preparing for even the end times. You know, you hear about, like, in Matthew 24, mm-hmm. Mark 13, it's talking about Christians won't be deceived by the Antichrist because they will know God, they will know the truth. If your goal in life is just to have fun, you won't be prepared. You will fall prey to the lies of the enemy. If you're laying on your deathbed and you're about to meet God face to face, you're not sitting there thinking, man, I wish I had played that game one more time. Mm-hmm. Or, man, I wish I had gone to Six Flags one more time because that was the most fun I ever had in this life. You know, that's not what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, I'm about to meet God, and this is serious. You're thinking of regrets that you have, you know, mistakes that you've made in your life, or you're thinking of things you wish you had done or ways that you had prepared more to meet the Lord face to face.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." And so what is the best use of our time? Is it just playing fun and games with people? Is it just entertaining people or entertaining ourselves? Or is it knowing God and helping others to know Him? Rather than help people have fun, I would rather help them become grateful people who live faithful lives, giving worship and thanks to God, seeking to please Him, not themselves.
Well, those are the things that are going to last in eternity. I mean, right. The more we know God now, the greater it will be when we see Him face to face.
Absolutely. We're not trying to be downers here in this idea, but we're trying to answer this question. Does Christianity take the fun out of life? And I hope we answered that question. No, it's actually not Christianity that takes the fun out of life. That's our sin. It's a sin of other people as well. That's the cause. It's not God. So God is not someone who doesn't want us to ever be happy or have fun or any of those kind of things. So sin is a cause, but also answering that question by understanding where are we supposed to find our enjoyment. Mm. And understanding that in God, in the Lord, is where we find that. And that's the only place that we'll find lasting enjoyment, lasting delight, and lasting hope.
Right. What is our purpose in life? What did God create us for? Mm-hmm. I don't think He created us just to have a good time. He created us for good works. He created us to know Him, to glorify Him. Can you have a good time in doing that? Absolutely. And I think we do that at RCF. But I find the most enjoyment out of time spent together encouraging one another in the Lord. And those times are truly enjoyable for me because I see the value of that. That is time well spent. but it's also just encouraging to see other people growing in their faith, learning scripture, and having those aha moments where something clicks and you just see their face light up because all of a sudden they understand some aspect of God that they never understood before, because it's eternal, it lasts. That has so much more meaning than maybe a game of Ultimate Frisbee.
So let me challenge you guys as students to spend time with the Lord in His Word. Get to know Him. The Psalms are a great place to do that and to cultivate that delight and enjoyment in Him. But also good Christian community, as you were talking about, Alice, that's another great place to start to cultivate the right kind of enjoyment in the Lord.
Absolutely, so. Right. We become like who we spend time with. And so if you want to delight in the things of the Lord, start spending time with people that already do delight in the things of the Lord. That's just going to spark you to find enjoyment in that as well.
Thanks again, Alice, for stopping in. And I hope you all will join us once again next week in listening to the RCF podcast. Be sure to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform so that you'll be notified when new episodes are released. If you'd like more information on RCF, you can find us on the website, roadiefellowship.com, or on Instagram at roadiefellowship.